Hi everybody, I'm an alcoholic. My name is Susan Twining. Step 11. I'm going to tell you right now, I am the queen of I want to simplify every step, and I'm going to tell you I overcomplicated this step to the nth degree. When I finally simplified it, I got it. But I overcomplicated it completely and absolutely. My first time through the steps, when I did my program A, I didn't do it very well. Watch yourself there, Jim. I didn't understand what prayer and meditation are, and it's very simple. Prayer is when I'm talking to God, and I did an awful lot of talking to God. I talked and I talked and I talked and I talked. Meditation is when I listen for God to talk to me. I didn't do very much of that. And my excuse was, I don't know how to do that. I can't sit still. I can't clear my mind. I don't do it very well. My mind is always going, I can't do that, I can't do that, I can't do that. And I kept saying that to people. And I have people say that to me today. And my sponsor kept telling me, practice. It takes practice. And I kept saying, but I can't do that. I sit down and my mind goes more. So here's what I tell the ladies that I sponsor today. Sit down and set an alarm for 5 minutes. Just sit for 5 minutes and try and clear your mind. 5 minutes. That's all I'm asking you to do. Set it on your phone. Set an egg timer. Anything. 5 minutes. Try and clear your mind. I don't care if you repeat the word God over and over and over again to clear everything else out of your mind. I don't care if we find a word and repeat that word over and over again to get everything else out of your mind. 5 minutes. And at some point in time, you're going to reach that point where the timer's going to go off and it's going to scare you. You're going to have found that you cleared your mind for 5 minutes. So then you set the timer for 10 minutes. And when you reach that time and that timer scares you at 10 minutes, then you go for 15 minutes. I'm going to tell you that since I finally simplified this step, I set my timer for 30 minutes. And it scares me. Now that I don't have to go and work or anything, I don't set a timer anymore. And sometimes I meditate for 15, 20 minutes. And there's times I've gone as long as 45 minutes to an hour when I'm meditating with my mind clear. I don't always succeed, but for the most part, I can get a good solid half an hour meditation in every single day, and not just once, sometimes twice. And if I'm really having a bad day where I'm having trouble feeling my connection to God, I try it 3 or 4 times a day. But the first time around, I didn't even try to meditate. I didn't try because my mind was racing, so I just didn't even bother to try. When I stopped going to meetings and I stopped doing anything, and I stopped even talking to God, I didn't have a connection at all. When I came back to the fellowship, what I started doing was I started chasing the 11th step. I did Cursillo. I went to retreats. I started talking to people who successfully were meditating and asking them, how do they meditate? I read books. I read books on religion. I chased the 11th step. Trying to figure out how can I make God be the first thing I turn to in a moment of crisis. When I went to Cursillo, there was a woman there that wasn't supposed to be there that weekend, facilitating that weekend. And her story so paralleled mine, not as an alcoholic, but as a woman looking for God. And I got a chance to sit down and talk to her, and she told me, she said, stop chasing him and sit down and let him find you. And that made sense to me. So after my Cursillo, the next women's retreat, I went up and I sat down at Finley Lake, at the lake. And I sat down and I'm like, okay, God, I'm sitting down waiting for you. And I'm going to try and meditate. And maybe you'll find me this time. And that was the first time I successfully meditated. And God found me. Now, I'm not saying God talks to me. I don't see burning bushes. What it is it's an intuition. It's a thought of a person I should call. It's a thought of something, a book I should read. It's a thought of some place I should go. It's an intuitive thing, and I've learned to trust those intuitions. It's your driving, and you have two choices of a way to go, and you have this strong intuition, I should go that way instead of this way. And I get to where I'm going, and I find out there was a bad accident on the route, one route I should have taken. It's knowing that I was pushed to take that way instead of this way. It's those intuitive thoughts. That's what God gives to me. There are times when I will say, God, I need an answer, and I need it now, and I need you to make it so plain that I'm not going to miss it. And God gives me butterflies and rainbows. Butterflies are my mother. And butterflies come to me on cold days when the butterflies shouldn't be there. I see rainbows when there's not been a rainstorm. So I know God's giving me these as signs. I've learned to trust those intuition things because I know that's God giving me signals and signs. But I pray every day. I get up every morning and I pray, and I pray throughout the day. In the big book, it talks, it's done step 11, where it's talking about it. It's very plain that we don't just do the meditation once, with the prayer once. We pray in the morning and we ask for guidance. The directions are on page 85 to 88. And they say, when we retire, upon awakening and throughout the day. And it's very plain. It tells us that we need to do it throughout the day. When we're confused, when we don't know where to turn, we stop and we pray and we meditate. I used to work for the blood bank, and I was a phlebotomist, and we'd have to kneel down and put the blood bags on the scales. And when I would kneel down, I would say a quick prayer. So I prayed probably 80, 90 times a day. So every time I knelt down, I'd say a short prayer. And it didn't have to be big, and it doesn't have to be a start with an Our Father or anything else. It just starts with, hey God, I'm here. Hey God, keep me going today. Hey God, we're doing okay so far, so keep me going now. It's those quick little prayers, and I used to do it throughout the day. And when I was having a bad day and my boss was yelling at me and I just wanted to stand up and slap her, okay God, you kept me from slapping her this far, keep me going the rest of the day. Okay, it was simple little things like that. And this is something that was given to me at a women's retreat, is set aside each time for your day for communion with your higher power. Don't try to fit it into your schedule. Make it a part of your schedule. When I was working, I would get up at 4 a.m. so that I would have a good hour for prayer and meditation before I went to work. I made time for it in my schedule. I made it part of my schedule. I didn't try and fit it in someplace else. And I made time for it in the morning because it set my day off right. I didn't want it to be something that I was trying to squeeze in before I went to bed, or squeeze in here, or squeeze in there. I want it to be a set part of my day. I will tell you, I have not worked now since last August, and I still get up at 4 a.m. My body is so attuned to doing that. So before my girls start calling me at 7 a.m., I've got my prayer and meditation done, I've had my coffee, and I'm ready to rock and roll the day. Because it's such a part of me to be able to sit down and do that without interruption. And I will tell you, the cats get up and join me sometimes. Sometimes they get sick and tired of it and want their food before it's time for it, so they start nudging me, okay? But they know, I think they know that this is mom's time to be quiet. In the summertime, I sit on my front porch and I meditate out there while the sun comes up and I have the birds in there. In the wintertime, I sit in my easy chair, where it's nice and cozy warm. But, you know, it's something I have planned each day. It's not something I squeeze in. It's not something I'm in a rush to get done. I tell my girls, I have Walmart meditation someday. I say my prayers, and I'm getting centered down, and I'm getting my mind clear. And through my brain runs, and when I go to Walmart, I gotta get cat litter. So I gotta start all over again. I gotta center my mind down, and I get my mind all clear, and it runs through my mind. I gotta get dish soap when I go to Walmart, you know. And I never do center down on those days. So I go to Walmart and get all of that out of my mind so that I can come home and I can sit down and try and meditate again. Okay? But some days it just doesn't, I don't center down. Some days I don't. And it's okay, because I'll try again, and I'll try again, and I'll try again. It's not a perfect thing. I'm not a perfect person that gets a perfect meditation all the time. But God knows I'm trying. But you know what happens a lot of times when I get to Walmart? I wind up having a meeting in the aisle with somebody from the fellowship, because every time I go to Walmart, I run into somebody in the fellowship. And if you go on Sunday morning after the Valley Group, you're sure to have a meeting in the aisle with a whole bunch of people that just left the Valley Group. So maybe God's got a thing going there too. But meditation is one of the most important skills that I have. Listening for God to talk to me, listening for God to give me that intuition is one of the most important skills that I have. But what I tell my girls to do is I tell them to read books on spirituality. If going to church is your thing, try different churches. Try going to Grace Church. Try going to many of the different churches around. If you're Catholic, go to the Catholic Church. If you're not Catholic and you want to try Catholic, go to a Catholic church. If you want, just try, if that's what you want to do. If you think your religion is, and religion is your way, then do that. If religion is not your thing, then just read some books about spirituality. Read books about, I read a lot of books on Buddhism, because that really appealed to me. I am not a religious person. I am a spiritual person. I spend a lot of time at the beach. That's where I feel closest to God. I've talked to a lot of different people about their spiritual experiences. When you go to the conference, or when you go to the women's retreat, or you go to different things, their Sunday morning speaker is usually a spiritual lead. And I try to get up there to talk to those people about their spiritual experiences. Read the stories in the back of the book, because a lot of those stories in the back of the book are about their finding their spiritual experience. There are specific books that are just about spiritual experiences. So I read a lot of those, trying to come to terms with, because this is, there is no spiritual side to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. It is a spiritual program. Not a God program, a spiritual program. Let's see, what else? Promises. We know how big I am on the promises. There are 10 associated with this step, but my personal favorite is, in thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. That is my favorite promise in this thing. The 11th step prayer, higher power. As I understand you, I pray to keep my connection with you open and clear from the confusion of daily life. Through my prayers and meditation, I ask especially for freedom from self-will, rationalization, and wishful thinking. I pray for the guidance of correct thought and positive action. Your will, higher power, not mine, be done. Amen. Now I learned that I have to do this daily because I have to improve my connection with my higher power. Because that's what this step is saying. It's telling us that we have to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, and praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. I have to do that on a daily basis. I can't rest on yesterday's sobriety. I can't rest on my laurels of yesterday's sobriety. It mentioned that in step 10. And step 11 is telling me that again. So I can't say, oh, I prayed yesterday, it's good enough. I have to continue to grow this. I can't rest on yesterday's prayers. I can't think I'll do it tomorrow. I have to improve my conscious contact every day. And I'm... I used to think that if I did it sporadically, it would be okay. But what I have found is, as long as I do it every day, my higher power strengthens every day. And I have been able to, I tell my girls that I sponsor. My sponsor, when I first got sober, said, borrow my sponsor. My sponsor's big enough to help both of us. I tell my girls today, if your sponsor's not big enough, borrow mine, because my sponsor's big enough for both of us. And I've had girls do that, that have borrowed my sponsor, and that's okay, because my sponsor's big enough for both of us. Because I keep growing my sponsor. My sponsor keeps growing and taking over more and more and more of me. And my higher power is bigger than anything I ever experienced before. And he's not above me, he's not below me, he's in me. I don't have to worry about where God is gone. Now sometimes I don't feel him, and it's not God that stepped away, it's me. And I have to look at that. I have to look when I don't feel close to God. When the pandemic first hit and I was so sick and I really thought I was going to die, and panic and anxiety took over my life, I really didn't feel God. I didn't feel very close to God at all. And I was praying and I was meditating, and I wasn't hearing God answering me. And it wasn't God that wasn't answering me, it was me that wasn't hearing. Because the panic and anxiety had taken over. And I called my doctor, and I'm going to tell you, I wound up seeing a psychiatrist, and I wound up seeing a therapist every week, and I've managed to work through all of that, and today God's back stronger than ever. But I had to go and get medical help. Because of the COVID. But what drove me away from God was my fear. And what drove me away from God the first time when I was drinking was fear. So I had to really buckle down and realize that God didn't go anywhere. He was right there, still holding me. And what I did was I downloaded on my phone the Footprints in the Sand poem. And I was reading it over and over and over again. And I kept saying, okay, God, I know you're carrying me right now. Because I had to believe that. I had to believe that at this point in time, when I really didn't feel him, he was carrying me. And I'm going to tell you, it was like 3 months of pure hell for me. And then all of a sudden, the one day, I felt the connection again. And I don't know what exactly opened it back up, other than the fact that I had faith that it was going to. But it was a rough time. It was a very rough time. But I'm really grateful that I knew enough to know that God didn't go anywhere I did. That my fear is what stopped me. That my fear is what kept me apart from God. And sometimes we just have to remember that footprints in the sand, God is the one carrying me. And we have to remember that. So I kept on walking in faith, and I kept on praying, and I kept on attempting to meditate, and I kept on doing all the things that I knew to do. And I was going to Zoom meeting after Zoom meeting after Zoom meeting. And but you know what? I made it through. And God came back. In full force. And now my faith is just as strong, if not stronger, than it ever was. But I really don't have anything else to share tonight, so I will give it to you, back to you guys.
All right. Thank you. Oh, jeez.
Somebody forgot to put the ears on.
Ooh. We've done that mistake before, so we learned.
Somebody say something. I can't do it.
Pressure's on.
We're all watching you.
Are you ready for questions yet, or are you still playing with the machinery?
Not Tell her we're playing with the machinery.
He's playing with the machinery.
Okay, I'll let him.
Kevin, she can go.
Yeah,
Zoom can hear. She can go ahead and go.
You can go ahead. They can hear you.
Okay, but can I hear? Oh yeah, I can hear you. Never mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, thank you so very much tonight. I really, really followed right along, and the whole time I'm thinking, I don't have a question. Oh, and then I have come up with a question. And yeah, we stayed in pretty close touch there at the beginning of this pandemic, and I am so grateful that we didn't both fall apart at the same time, because mine came last winter when I fell apart on it. And coming back, but thank you for sharing it with me, because I knew that it's okay. It's okay that we, you know, there are times. But the question I had, when I was raised in a religion, we were allowed and almost encouraged to pray for our intentions. In AA is complete flip, because we're supposed to pray for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry it out. Have you ever thought about that, or what about praying for intentions?
I prefer to pray the AA way, because I much prefer. Religion really turned me off, so I kind of block all of that out, and I just pray the AA way. At this point, I just don't think about the old way anymore, so it's just not something I considered.
Me too, but I just wanted to check with you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Anna. This isn't working, is it?
Is it on?
What about
that? No.
It was working.
We don't have a mic in the house. I think it's working now. No? Okay.
Is it working?
Ask anybody has a question to come up.
Anybody have a question?
So, we'll work on that. If anybody has a question.
Anybody else on Zoom have a question?
You can repeat the question.
If you have a question, go ahead and ask it. She'll repeat it.
Right.
We'll see how that goes.
Okay.
Don't make eye contact.
Susan, that was very beautiful, and I like how you explained how you began to listen, but you said at the beginning that you at first talked to God all the time, and I assume at that point you were not talking to God the AA way, but maybe you were asking for specific things, which is what I do. And I suppose if I got rid of wishful thinking, and my mind would be quiet. But how when you speak to God now, I assume that you don't just listen, that you speak. I mean, what is it that you say, may I ask?
He's asking, what do I say to God today when I speak with Him? I talk to God like I'm talking to a friend today, and I ask for help for all the people that I work with and sponsorship and the people that are struggling today. But I also ask God to help me be less selfish, self-centered, resentful, fearful. I ask Him for help to get through the struggles that I have. I ask Him for guidance. But I talk to God just like I'm talking to you. It's not wound up in the way we were taught to pray. in church. I don't use the these and the thous and all of that stuff. But pretty much I talk to God like it's a friend. Once in a while I will say, okay, God, I need this and I need it now, and I need you to give me a sign right here, right now, that I'm not going to miss. And he always, I'm going to tell you, twice I can think of right off the top of my head that I have done that, and both times I have been given a sign immediately that I was making the right decision. And but I'm usually asking for help for, like I said, the ladies I sponsor, the people I know in the fellowship that are struggling, my friends who are having health problems. But mostly, you know, the selfishness, the self-centeredness, I try and keep all of that. Every day I'm praying for God to remove that from me. Because I can become selfish and self-centered in a New York minute. I really can. But I talk to God like I'm talking to you. That answer your question?
Thank you. I have one more question.
Sure.
You said that when you meditate, you say a word over and over. Does it make any difference what the word is? Or?
No, it doesn't matter. What I'm using the word for is to like clear my mind of all the other stuff. I'm going to tell you, sometimes I've used, I just had to put my one cat down, and I had him for 20 years, and he's the love of my life, and for the last month since I put him down, it's been his name I've been using. Because it clears my mind of all other thoughts. That's all I need the word for. But it drags out the whole of, what do I need to get at the grocery? What do I need to do today? What do I need to do laundry? It drags out all the chores and stuff I need to do. It drags out all the garbage of my mind and allows me to center my mind down to nothing. Because I need my mind clear.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, Susan. I'm Bridget. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Bridget.
Thank you so much for your time with us. And my question is in regards to when you talked about the process of learning how to meditate, that you would set your clock or your whatever you have, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And when you were startled when that time was up, that meant that to you that you had been lost, that you were there in that zone. And I'd like to know how you heard about that, because I really like that, and I am going to try it. And I'm going to recommend that to people because it's very practical. And so I just wanted to comment on that. I thought it was very practical. But where did you learn that particular practice?
I learned that at a retreat up in Canada back in the early 80s. I went to a retreat in Canada up in the early 80s, and that's where they suggested that we try with the there. So it's very effective.
Hi, Susan.
Hi, Brenda.
In your meditations, do you ever thank God for not giving you what you wanted?
Yes. Yes, most definitely. I also thank him for not giving me what I deserved.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Susan, thank you so much. I'm curious, praying only for knowledge of his will and the power to carry that out. Were you tempted early on when you first tackled the 11th step to add codicils to only praying for knowledge of his will and P.S. just to remind you of the things that I find really important here? I was wondering if you'd take these under advisement.
Of course I was tempted.
And is it that you've just gained a more profound trust in your higher power that has allowed you to let him take over the whole thing and delete the codicil? Do you find that?
What I have
found. Do you find that that's been a process over the years, that it takes really a while to get to the second part of that 11th step where you're truly praying only for knowledge of his will, because you have absolute and complete trust that he's got you covered in more ways than you can imagine.
What I have found is the more I let God be in charge, the better job he does than I do. The more I put my fingers in and stir the pot, the longer things take. Prime example of when I was in the accident at work, and I was told I couldn't go back to work, and they were killing my workman's comp. My lawyer told me, he said, you need to go online and apply for Social Security disability. Now, I spent 2 years getting my mother Social Security disability and fighting and a lawyer, and I'm like, oh, I'm panicking, you know, financial insecurity, and, you know, I mean, I'm panicking. And so January, I'm online, and I'm filling out everything, and I'm getting documents, and I'm getting this out and filled out, and I'm panicking. What am I going to do for income? How am I going to pay my rent? How am I going to make my car payment? And on and on and on and on. And February, Terry Houlihan calls me and says, I'm going to the grocery store. Do you need anything, or do you want to go for a ride? Because at this point, I had lost the feeling in my legs. I couldn't drive anymore. And I said, I want to take a ride, but let me check, make sure my balance agrees with what I say I have at the bank. And I go online, and I called her, and I said, you need to come over here and look at my bank account. I have too much money in my account. And she came over, and she says, you got your Social Security. 1 month, and I was given the Social Security. They hadn't even notified me of it yet. Now, if that's not God taking care of me, what is? So I keep my fingers out of things. God takes care of me. Okay, so I keep my fingers out of things. I've learned over the years that the more I let him do, I just pray. Because when I hit the send button on that Social Security thing, I was like, okay, God, this is in your hands, and you got to take care of it, because I got a car payment due, and I got rent that's due. So, and he gave me what I needed. So, I just let God handle things today.
Thank you, Susan. I got a lot out of that. My question is God's will for me. I have sort of a big decision to make, and I've been asking him what his will is for me for months now, and I don't feel like I'm getting my answer. Sometimes I go by if I have a passion for something, like I know that's his will, but what can I do if it's like a major decision and I'm waiting to find out?
The answer may be no, that it's not his will for you. When things fall into place, that is God's will. If I'm struggling to make something happen, and I'm having to push things around and shove and squeeze and go around the Robin's bench, and then it's not God's will. So that's the way I choose to look at it. I mean, but when things fall into place and the right things happen in order, then it's God's will.
Anybody on Zoom? Anybody else in the room? Give me a sign. Nope.
Kevin's got something.
Kevin's always got a question.
Yeah. I look at the time. I just try not to let us get out too early. You know? Thank you again for coming. Only one more week.
I know.
Then what are you going to do? Huh?
So out there and think up questions.
Oh, there you go. Good deal. All right. Anyway, you were talking about, you know, your struggle when you were prayer versus meditation. And you said you read, you know, some books and you read this and you were searching. I was wondering if you could share with some of the books, or, you know, anybody else who's kind of struggling out there with meditation. Maybe there's a book or a pamphlet or a speaker or somebody that you could, you know, give somebody direction that may help them with meditation.
Conversations with God. the shack. God, I have a list of books at home. I have all the books at home. But those were the two big ones. Conversations with God and the Shack were the two big ones that I really enjoyed the most. But there was other ones. I mean, there was a book about Buddhism. There was a book about Zen. I read a book on Catholicism and the history of Catholicism. I like to read. So, but I just went looking for... I read books about meditation. I looked up a whole bunch of different guided meditations. Guided meditation, I didn't like it because they're either too slow or too fast. They're too slow and I keep like, move faster please. Or they're too fast and I feel like I'm running to keep catch up. And you know, so I didn't like guided meditation at all. I know some people do. But I tell the women I sponsor, if you like guided meditation, then do use it. I don't enjoy guided meditations, so. But there's all kinds of different meditations out there, so seek out the kind you like.
Brenda must know that we don't get a refund if we don't use the whole hour. So.
No, I actually was thinking, I'm Brenda Alcoholic, I was actually thinking, this might be a really silly question, but when you are meditating, you're quiet, Do you fall asleep and then feel guilty that you weren't listening to God because you fell asleep?
Well, if I fall asleep, I just think I needed the nap. And yes, I have fallen asleep.
I feel better, thanks.
You fall asleep, don't you?
Yeah.
The only stupid question is the one you don't ask.
Thank you.
Last call. All right, Susan, thank you very much.